Good morning. I want to greet each one in Christ's name this morning. So, continuing my series in looking at Old Testament people, I wanted to look at Samson this morning. And you might think, and I did as I started into this, it's a bit depressing comparing to the last message when I looked at Joshua, who, yes, he had some struggles. He wasn't perfect. But when we look at Samson, he seemed like a very imperfect man. I thought it also appropriate, I'm going to title this message, Samson, A Call to Moral Purity. But I also am going to include a little bit this morning in looking at David and Solomon. I don't know if you ever thought of those men having something in common with Samson. So Samson, we think of as the strongest man to ever live. David, we say he was a man, the Bible says, a man after God's own heart. And Solomon's the wisest man to ever live. But thinking especially of Samson and Solomon, when you think of Samson's life, was he the strongest man to ever live?
Physically.
Exactly. Physically, he was. But when it came to sexual purity, moral purity, he was not. Solomon, the Bible says, is the wisest man to ever live, but was he the wisest when it came to his wives? And so, I don't want this message to discourage you, but to encourage you. So as we look at these men today, recognize that we are no different than they are. We are no different than they were. I would say the only difference is that the Holy Spirit is available to live in our lives in a way that I don't know if it was quite that way for them. And I would hope that our conscience, with the aid of the Holy Spirit, would prick us to stop us to go from going to the point that Samson and David and Solomon found themselves. This message this morning is, you're going to find, is primarily aimed at the men, but I think that this struggle can affect women also. If you're a woman today and think this isn't for you, maybe it just looks a little different than it does for us men. But we live in the feminist era, I'll call it today, where women are encouraged to think and act like men in this area. And so I think it can be a struggle for them also. But turn with me to Judges chapter 13, where we do find the story of Samson. Judges chapter 13, beginning at verse 1. And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines 40 years. And there was a certain man of Zorah, the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and bare not. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman and said unto her, Behold now, thou art barren and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son. Now therefore beware, I pray thee, and drink not wine nor strong drink, and eat not any unclean thing. For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come upon his head. For the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb, and he shall deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. And I'm going to pause there for now. One thing I hadn't really thought about before, but how many famous people in the Old Testament came from women who were barren? I came up with about four or five, but I want to see maybe there's more. Who's someone that was born from a woman that was barren? Samuel was.
John the Baptist.
John the Baptist.
Isaac.
Isaac was. I didn't have him so good. I thought there would probably be more. I didn't try to have an exhaustive list, but what's another one? There's another one, really famous. Joseph, yes. And here we have another one, Samson. I don't know why not. This, my message this morning isn't to look into that, but why did God so often use barren women to conceive a person that God would use in a great way? But I think it goes to just show that God was involved in that person's life the whole way through. So we have here, Samson was born. But what's very fascinating is he was called to be a Nazarite before he was even conceived. I hadn't really thought about it before, but I think this is another example of, in an era, the time we live when people try to claim that a child isn't a child, a child isn't a person until the moment they're born. And yet here, clearly, Samson was a Nazarite, was a person, had an identity the moment he was conceived. But what did it mean to be a Nazarite? We've probably all heard and looked at that, but he was supposed to, there were certain things that he was supposed to do. Let's read here then Judges 13, and I'm going to jump to verse 24. And the woman bare a son and called his name Samson, and the child grew, and the Lord blessed him. And the Spirit of the Lord began to move him at times in the camp of Dan between Zorah and Eshtaloah. And Samson went down to Timnah and saw a woman in Timnah, the daughter of the Philistines. And he came up and told his father and mother and said, I have seen a woman in Timnah of the daughters of the Philistines. Now therefore get her for me to wife. Then his father and mother said unto him, is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren or among all my people? Thou goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines? And Samson said unto his father, get her for me, for she pleaseth me well. But his father and his mother knew not that it was of the Lord, and that he sought an occasion against the Philistines. For all that time the Philistines had dominion over Israel. Then Samson went down, and his father and mother to Timnah, and came to the vineyards of Timnah, and behold, a young lion roared against him. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he rent him as he would have rent a kid. And he had nothing in his hand, but he told not his father and mother what he had done. And he went down and talked with the woman, and she pleased Samson well. And after a time he returned to take her, and he turned aside to see the carcass of the lion. And behold, there was a swarm of bees and honey in the carcass of the lion. And he took there in his hands and went on eating. He came to his father and mother and gave them, and they did eat. But he told not them that he had taken the honey out of the carcass of the lion. So Nazarite was supposed to be someone who did not cut their hair, was supposed to eat only kosher food, and this honey was from that. I believe it was also very important that he take a wife of the Israelites. And it says here that God used this thing, but I had to think that what if God could still have used Samson if he had taken a wife of the Israelites? We don't know that, and I don't want to play too much, you know, what ifs here, but I do believe that if Samson had taken a wife of the Israelites, God could still have used him to find an occasion against the Philistines. We talk about, I don't know if you've ever thought about this, and maybe I'm opening a can of worms for you in your mind, but God's perfect will and his permissive will. And in thinking about that, I'm going to go down a little bit of a rabbit trail this morning bit. For you young people, you young men especially, if God has put a desire in your heart to find a spouse, and you're worrying about Who is it? Who's that perfect person out there for me? I believe that there's possibly 10 perfect people out there for you, and you don't have to worry about finding the perfect one. But God, if you are seeking His will, God will lead you to a spouse that can bless you and be the right one. What if Samson had chosen from the Israelites? I believe his life would have gone much easier, and that he still could have judged Israel and still could have conquered the Philistines, but he didn't. He went against what he knew what was right for him. And it wasn't just in the area of a wife. It wasn't just in the area of food. I think it probably was something he struggled with across his life, was living in obedience. He struggled with that desire to do whatever he wanted to do. And maybe that's something you struggle with this morning. You know what's right, and you keep wanting to do, this thing over here just looks so much better. For some reason, Samson just kept going back to the women of the Philistines all through his life. And it just brought struggle after struggle. Is my headset working correctly? I'm hearing a feedback. Are you guys hearing a feedback? Maybe it's just me. All right. We see his desire here to take a wife of the Philistines, and so God used that anyway. So if you find yourself this morning and you realize that you have made decisions in your past that weren't probably God's perfect will for your life, don't feel like you've messed up and that you can never do what's right going forward. God can use that anyway if we are submissive to Him and surrendered to His will. But I believe that Samson very quickly regretted his decision as we go on here in Judges 14, verse 10. So his father went down unto the woman, and Samson made there a feast, for so used the young men to do. And it came to pass when they saw him, they brought 30 companions to be with him. And Samson said unto them, I will now put forth a riddle unto you. If you can certainly declare it to me within the 7 days of the feast and find it out, then I will give you 30 sheets and 30 change of garments. But if you cannot declare it to me, then you shall give me 30 sheets and 30 change of garments. And he said unto him, put forth thy riddle, that we may hear it. And he said unto them, out of one of the eater came forth me, and out of the other came forth sweetness. And they could not in 3 days expound the riddle. And it came to pass on the seventh day, they said unto Samuel's wife, entice thy husband, that he may declare unto us the riddle, lest we burn thee in thy father's house with fire. Have ye called us to take that we have not? Is it not so? And Samson's wife wept before him and said, thou dost but hate me, and lovest me not. Thou hast put forth a riddle unto the children of my people, and hast not told it me. And he said unto her, behold, I have not told it my father nor my mother. Shall I tell thee? And she wept before him the 7 days while their feast lasted. And it came to pass on the seventh day that he told her, because she lay sore upon him, and she told the riddle to the children of her people. You have to feel a little bit for Samson here, don't you? For those of you who are married, can you imagine if the first days, 7 days in your honeymoon, your wife, new wife, pouted and nagged and pouted and nagged and pouted and nagged? And I think about any of us would have been willing to just give in. But yet Samson should not have. He should have remained strong. The strongest man physically could not hold up. Because the whole point in doing this riddle was part of God's plan to cause him to fight the Philistines. And yet, by mistakes he made in marrying a Philistine woman, it led to more and more grief and problems. One thing I just was recently reading through this story again, in my morning reading, and it hadn't stuck out to me before. I'm sure I'd read it, but that in the end of this story, Samson's first wife and wife's father, who was threatened to be killed over this riddle, just a few weeks or months later, would end up dead anyway. And so it was kind of ironic that they thought they were saving their necks by getting the riddle out of Samson, but the mistake was to get involved with Samson at all. So we go on in the story. Samson then takes 300 foxes, catches 300 foxes, ties them two by two, lights their tails on fire, and sends them into the fields. This makes the Philistines angry, so they rise up to come and kill him. And he kills 1,000 men with the jawbone of an ass. We go on in chapter 16. I'm not going to take time to read it all, but he judges Israel for 20 years. So for 20 years now, he has basically gotten the best of the Philistines and kept them from persecuting Israel like they had been doing prior to this. You would say in a way that Samson was fulfilling God's will and at the place where he should be. But what does he go and do? He falls, as we looked at in our Sunday school lesson, our weakness. Samson's weakness was Philistine women. And so he goes down to a harlot. And this moral failing just continued to come back again and again with Samson. And I was already thinking about sharing on Samson this week, and then the story of Sharon Moore, the head coach of the Michigan Wolverines, came up in the news. And I thought, it was very applicable to what we have here in looking at Samson, when we look at David, when we look at Solomon. For those of you who may not follow college football, he was a coach of one of the top teams in the country. He was making around $6 million a year. He had a wife, three children. He had it all. And yet he had given in to moral weakness and had an affair. And it brought it all crashing down. And just a few days ago, there's pictures of him in a jumpsuit with his hands shackled in prison. What is this a reminder of? That the higher you up you are, the farther you can fall. But no, any of us can fail and struggle. And so we all need to be on guard that we are, no matter how much God has used us, no matter how far we've risen or how long we've lasted, thinking of Samson going for 20 years as the judge of Israel, protecting Israel from the Philistines. But then he failed. And what happened? I'm going to look a little bit at David. David is a similar story. David had spent years on the run. He had now reached the pinnacle of his success, you could say. He had built palaces. He had brought peace to Israel. And yet that's when he failed. And so it's a challenge to all of us. What were the consequences? They were different than they were to Sharon Moore. They were different than maybe some than exactly what Samson went through. But his family would never be the same. If you look at the end of David's life, his children fought for the kingdom, for the throne. His son stole his wives, tried to steal the throne from David while he was still living. There were consequences. Even though David did repent, There were long-term consequences to that failure. Moving on to Solomon, we could say, well, Solomon, he never, as far as we know, he never killed a man to get his wife. And yet, I believe the fact that he had so many wives and concubines spoke of his own struggle with moral purity. And in his youth, it seemed so promising. He built the temple. He brought peace and riches and grew the kingdom of Israel. I believe, if I'm correct, that to one of the times when they had the most territory that Israel ever had, even more than they have today. But yet his moral failures when it came to many, many wives, what did it bring him? Did it bring him happiness? And that's what Satan often does to us, especially as men. He tries to tell us that we would be happier if we would just indulge in this moral impurity. We would truly be happy then. But it's a lie, and we can look at Solomon as an example of that. If wife number one wasn't satisfying enough, then why would wife number 100, why would wife number 200 be enough? And different than David and Samson, who we both see in their lives, and we're going to look at that at the end of the message here, of the end of Samson's life, but both David and Samson, it appears, truly repented, and God, I do believe, forgave them. And we find both of them in the faith chapter in Hebrews 11. But I don't see that with Samson. I know people try to say, well, Ecclesiastes points to his repentance, and he realized at the end of his life. But we never really see anywhere that he truly, truly repented. He may have recognized the fact that it didn't bring happiness, but we don't see his name in Hebrews 11. Twice in Ecclesiastes, he says the phrase, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. And gotquestions.org gave another word for that word vanity, of meaningless. Vanity of vanities, which is all the things that he had tried to do to bring happiness, build things, conquer things, marry wives, all those things, in the end, was meaningless. And then in Ecclesiastes 12:1, a very well-known verse to us, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. He tells other men to turn back to God. And I believe this points to, you know, turn back to God like when I was young, like how I served him when I was young. But I don't know. We'll have to wait till we get to heaven to know if Samson or if Solomon truly repented and turned back to God. Finishing up the story, let's turn then to Judges chapter 16. I just want to make a few points here yet. Judges 16, beginning at verse 18. And when Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, come up this once, for he hath showed me all his heart. Then the lord of the Philistines came up unto her and brought money in their hand. And she made him sleep upon her knees, and she called for a man, and she caused him to shave off the 7 locks of his head. And she began to afflict him, and his strength went out from him. And she said, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he woke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as other times before and shake myself. And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. But the Philistines took him, put out his eyes, and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with fetters of brass. And he did grind in the prison house. What a fall from what God had done in him for 20 years. His eyes were out, He was never getting his sight back. And he was bound in prison. But had he, it seems like he was bound in a prison of his own sexual desires and struggles for many years before this. And that can happen in our lives. Maybe on the outside we look like we're doing okay, we got it together. But we're in a prison bound by our sinful desires. Where are you at this morning? The last verses, maybe if we stop the story there, it would be very, very discouraging. But then we have verses 22 to 31. Howbeit the hair of his head began to grow again after he was shaven. Then the lords of the Philistines gathered them together for to offer a great sacrifice unto Dagon, their god, and to rejoice. For they said, our God hath delivered Samson, our enemy, into our hand. And when the people saw him, they praised their God. For they said, our God hath delivered into our hands our enemy, and the destroyer of our country, which slew many of us. And it came to pass when their hearts were merry, that they said, call for Samson, that he may make us sport. And they called for Samson out of the prison house, and he made them sport, and they set him between the pillars. And Samson said unto the lad that held him by the hand, suffer me that I may feel the pillars whereupon the house standeth, that I may lean upon them. Now the house was full of men and women, and all the lords of the Philistines were there. And there were upon the roof about 3,000 men and women that beheld while Samson made sport. And Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once, O God, that I may be avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes. And Samson took hold of the two middle pillars upon the house, which the house stood, and on which it was borne up, and with one with his right hand and one with the other hand. And Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. And he bowed himself upon with all his might, and the house fell upon the lords and upon the people that were therein. So the dead which he slew at his death were more than which he slew in his life. Then his brethren and all the house of his father came down, took him and brought him and buried him between Zorah and Eshtol in the burying place of Manoah his father. And he judged Israel 20 years. And so I want you to get this picture in your mind this morning. That if you've struggled, if you have failed, be like Samson. And raise your hands, you don't have to physically, but inside. Put your hands to the pillars and ask God this morning to strengthen you, to give you that strength that you need to be faithful to Him. Like we had in Sunday school, we are weak. We need God's help. It seemed like Samson, you know, you could say it seemed like Samson's strength was because of his hair, but I really believe we see in the story it was because of what God was doing in him. And it seemed like Samson never realized that he needed God's strength in other areas in his life. And so maybe you this morning, there's areas of your life that you do really well in, and it seems like God is blessing you. But there's some area that you are struggling in and have not completely surrendered that to God. And so that my desire would be that you would do that. But if you, like David, have failed, recognize that there is forgiveness following repentance. My desire for Sharon Moore is not to see him spend time in jail, to lose his family and all that, but for him, like David and Samson, to call out to God. And for every person, if you're someone that has struggled. Hebrews 11, I've mentioned that before, I really like that chapter. It gives me hope when we look at those different people and recognize that they were flawed. We look at those men that are listed with Samson. We have David and Gideon and Jephthah, and you can, each of those men, if you look in the story, at some point I'll look in the story of Gideon, but he was far from a godly, great man, but yet God used him also, bringing glory to God. And that's what God wants to do. So let's be like David. Let's be like Samson. Finally, I want to close with a few verses in John chapter 1. John chapter 1, beginning at verse 5. This then is the message that we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. I want us to focus on verse 10. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us. Let's, this morning, be men and women of faith, of recognizing our weakness and putting our faith and trust in God, who will give us the strength to face whatever weakness, whatever thing that is the thing that Satan most often makes us struggle with. The Lord bless you.